Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Fast am I. Good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Thursday, 25th of May, 2023 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island and background to that news and sport and business and Sea Watch and travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, electricity is going up on July the 1st. We got no say post-Brexit, says Chief Minister in Westminster. The union says pay awards on the island are meaningless. At court today, a suicide verdict and the murderer got sentenced. And Manx boxers off to Holland this weekend.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Christian Jones.
Fastamai. Electricity tariffs on the island will still be going up from the 1st of July, but not by as much as previously expected. Manx Utilities has announced prices will now rise by 2 pence per unit instead of 6. A murderer who attacked his love rival in a fit of jealousy has been handed a life sentence. Ian Anthony Anderson murdered 60-year-old Neil Edward Roberts in 2013. And Trade Union Prospect says workers across the island's public services can't continue to accept pay awards, which after the effects of inflation are meaningless. The local negotiations officer was talking ahead of a ballot of the union's membership to determine what form of action they would be prepared to take following rejection of the latest pay offer. In international news, a car has crashed into the gates of Downing Street. Police say no one's been injured and a man has been arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and dangerous driving. The surrounding area has been cordoned off by armed officers. First Minister Humza Yousaf has called an assessment of his own force by the Chief Constable of Police Scotland historic and monumental. Sir Ian Livingston, who's retiring in the summer, says it's institutionally racist, misogynistic and discriminatory. And the UK Chancellor says he might well be prepared to step in and help households with energy costs again if they go back up. Earlier, the regulator Ofgem brought its price cap down because of tumbling wholesale costs. Those are the update news headlines. Next at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face to face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Christian. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, no wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is slight. And this evening, what a lovely evening across the Isle of Man. Dry and sunny, lots of blue sky. A moderate wind coming in from the northwest after dark. Dry and clear down to 10 Celsius. And to Friday, Jahenya. Another fine day tomorrow, feeling warmer as that north-northwesterly will fall light, and we're up to 18 Celsius overnight, minimum 10, into the bank holiday weekend. Jasan, Saturday will be dry, settled and warm, top temperature 17, and it's the same right through until Monday. Sunset tonight, 29 minutes before 10, low water 3 minutes past 10, high tide 16 minutes after 4 a.m. The sun rises tomorrow morning at a minute to 5. And the morning low tide at 11:05.
The Manx Glass and Glazing showroom will be closed for TT from the 2nd of June, reopening on Monday the 12th of June.
Senior UK politicians and politicians from the Crown dependencies face today, including the Isle of Man's Chief Minister. They told the House of Commons committee their views weren't effectively represented in post-Brexit trade talks. It's something Alfred Cannon gave evidence on when he appeared before the Justice Committee alongside Guernsey's Minister for External Relations, Jonathan Latouche.
They weren't able to be represented as effectively as possible. Now that put a huge amount of pressure, bearing in mind that we were not in the room for negotiations, so we did not know what the questions or issues were particularly. I think if it hadn't, to be quite frank, been for some bilateral talks that we had informally with, for example, the Canadians, that we would not have realised, well, they would not have realised quite where we were and exactly how we could progress in the time frames that we were given. We were able, thanks to Minister Hans at the time, his help, to have face-to-face formal meetings with the negotiators on the other side, That helped resolve some issues, and we came to a conclusion that is not where we wanted to be, because there will be a delay in our accession into the services chapters. And we are, all three of us, service industry jurisdictions. Yeah, I think that's often misunderstood. We are not primarily tourists and milking cows. You know, that's sometimes a misunderstanding that comes. I mean, 100 years ago, perhaps, but that isn't our industry today.
The CPTPP has been a sort of benchmark, if you like, in terms of perhaps finding out where everybody really stood, and whatever the reasons for the sort of late notice that we were not going to come in for services, we have at least had a more positive acknowledgement about future free trade agreements, and I hope that the position will start to change.
Electricity tariffs on the Isle of Man won't be going up as much as previously planned on July the 1st. Manx Utilities announced prices will now rise 2p per unit from that date instead of 6p per unit due to the fall in wholesale energy prices. Speaking before the announcement was Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK Jason Morehouse.
A lot of us knew at the time we were getting the lowest cost electricity in the British Isles, but it wasn't that clarity in terms of this is being done to actually help you. And it wasn't until we had the support package in August, September time being announced, people started to say, oh, this is different. My big concern, it's kind of now becoming more obvious in the wider communities that people didn't know this was happening, and so they're now picking up the consequences, and those consequences are higher bills, and they could get higher because the prices have gone up to stabilise the company, to ensure that their financial position is adequate, to ensure that the cost of debt doesn't become unmanageable.
But should the people be the ones paying off that debt or stabilising the company?
At this point, options are limited. When I started asking the questions last February, it was a case of, why are you actually allowing everyone to benefit? If I'd had a mansion and a swimming pool and a massive data centre and everything else, I would have had a huge benefit last year in terms of cheap electricity price, the cheapest in the British Isles. Whereas Mrs. Smith, who lives in a small flat, she'd had a small benefit. And the problem is going forward that Mrs. Smith, who had a small benefit last year, is now going to have a huge cost. And that huge cost is partly because everyone benefited last year. So it's a difficult one. And at the moment, the government's struggling to balance the books, and we're using reserves and everything else to keep things going. So, you know, to actually look at the millions of pounds that are kind of hanging there and need to be dealt with, it's unfortunate the customer is having to pay.
Update. Brought to you by Simcox Advocates.
A verdict of suicide has been recorded at the inquest into the death of a retired art teacher who drowned at Groudle Glen. 63-year-old Grace Joy Kane of Hope Street, Castletown, died on the 30th of October last year. At Douglas Courthouse today, the court was told she deliberately entered the water in the early hours of the morning. The story from Lewis Foster.
Mrs. Kane's disappearance on the afternoon of Saturday, the 29th of September, prompted a large search operation over night. Police, alongside sniffer dogs and Douglas Coast Guard, were called to Groudle Glen car park after her car was found with the keys still in the ignition shortly after 1 o'clock on the Sunday morning. Thermal cameras were used and a helicopter was summoned from Anglesey to help scour the area, but the darkness, rough sea conditions and rain hindered efforts. Later that morning, once the sun had come up, Mrs. Kane's body was found at nearby Sea Lion Cove. A forensic examiner concluded she died several hours earlier. Statements from family members revealed Mrs. Kane had a history of mental health problems and had carried out an act of self-harm while staying with her parents in Manchester in July 2022. And while those close to her said she'd been in generally high spirits in the weeks prior to her death, her mobile phone data showed she'd used the internet to search for information on drowning. Despite being known to mental health services, Coroner of Inquest James Brooks said it was clear Manx Care would not have been aware of her intentions, as she'd not mentioned having suicidal thoughts to medical professionals. Her family, who were present in court, explained they'd tried to improve Mrs. Kane's mental health in recent years. Recording his verdict of suicide, Coroner Brooks expressed his gratitude to Mrs. Kane's family for attending proceedings after experiencing what must have been a great shock.
Workers across the Isle of Man's public services can't continue to accept pay awards that, after the effects of inflation, are meaningless. The words of Prospect Union's negotiating officer, Mick Hewer. He was talking ahead of a consultative ballot on the union's membership to see what form of action they would take following rejection of the latest 5% pay offer.
I think there are elements of the negotiating team that take our point of view and can see our point of view, but I think the team as a whole that are trying to negotiate with have got one, if not both, hands tied behind the back via Treasury. I think everybody accepts that we are in a difficult position locally and internationally and globally, but at the end of the day, our members are saying the pay award that's being offered to them is not acceptable. The next step will be for me to seek their views on what they may or may not be prepared to do about that.
Clearly your members are not alone in this. We've seen the RCN and other unions also taking similar actions in the Isle of Man, something of a winter of discontent that we've endured. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel at this stage, a willingness on the other side to meet you?
No, and I don't have to think about that answer for too long. I don't think that there's a willingness to accept that the employees of Isle of Man government, irrespective of whether they're PSC employees or whether they're employed by Manx Care or wherever else they're employed, there's no acceptance from the employer. And by that I mean central government, that members' pay has been cut year on year and that our members have had enough and they are seeking a restorative pay award that claws back some of those losses.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Mothership Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:15. She'll be into Douglas in the next 10 minutes or so. Onto the Lynx, Ben, departing this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham tonight at 11:30. The overnight departure from Heysham, 2:15, back to Douglas tomorrow morning around 6:15. High-speed craft Mananan departed Douglas at 3:13. She's in Liverpool now on the Lynx, Ben. Ready and waiting, will be departing at 7:15, back to Douglas at 10 tonight. Tomorrow morning's departures, 7:30, Mananan heads to Liverpool, 8:00, Ben McCree goes to Heysham.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Manx boxers Jade Burden and TJ Fair are travelling to Europe this weekend to take part in a major event to round off their respective seasons. Their coach is Peter Roberts.
It's the Eindhoven Box Cup, the Eindhoven International Box Cup, probably one of the most prestigious box cup in Europe. It's going to be a really, really tough ask for them too, but they're both boxing at a very, very top level, especially Jade at the minute. It's going to be really, it's a 4-day competition. There's about, I'm not too sure how many in each weight division at the minute. Boxing starts on the Friday, on the Saturday. The final's on the Sunday, and hopefully we'll be around about there. But it's going to be a great great experience for Jade and TJ at boxing at this level. Really good one.
We've seen Jade in action previously already in the Box Cup as well, but for TJ, what's the experience going to be like for him, do you think?
Brand new for TJ. I know he's boxed at a decent level all the last couple of years. I mean, he's been the regional champion for 4 years in a row, but this is his first year as a senior, and he's just adapting. He's done okay. He's had 3 now as a senior, one and a couple of close calls. This is probably the first time he'd be on away soil, foreign soil. It will be a bit of an eye-opener for him. So again, this is all part of TJ's long-term development plan for the Commonwealth Games, hopefully in 4 years' time.
What are the objectives from this particular trip? Anything in particular in mind?
I would like, personally, to see them get out of the first stages of it all. The objective for the likes of TJ is the experience at the international stage, boxing at the top level. He'll meet some of... I mean, I think there's a couple of national champions, European champions, Commonwealth Games champions going to this. We haven't seen the weight groups just yet, but I know there's going to be some tasty opponents in there. I would just like to see, again, TJ's used to travelling, so he's not like... But it's a European trip. It's a little bit different. The surrounds will be a little bit different. It can be quite intimidating. For him, it's all about experience.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 6:16, the international business process outsourcing and professional services company Capita has been selected as the preferred bidder to deliver new services designed to assess how much people should be paid in benefits in the UK. The contracts are due to deliver functional assessment service assessments in the Midlands and Wales for the Department for Work and Pensions and in Northern Ireland for the Department for Communities. There were worth a combined £565 million and will run for 5 years from 2024 to 2029 with an option to extend for a further 2 years. Germany was pushed into recession by persistent inflation in the first 3 months of this year. Europe's largest economy was also hit when Russian gas supplies dried up after they invaded Ukraine. The German economy contracted by 0.3% between January and March this year, followed by a 0.5% contraction in the last 3 months of the previous year. And as a country is deemed to be in recession when its economy shrinks for two consecutive three-month periods, Germany is in recession. Germany's inflation rate stood at 7.2% in April, above the euro area as average, but below UK's 8.7%. Higher prices have weighed on German household spending on food, clothing and furniture. Industrial orders are also weaker, reflecting the impact of higher energy prices on German businesses.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets were lower. The euro fell as Germany was confirmed to be in recession. Oil fell too, and gold slid as optimism around the US debt ceiling talks lowered safe haven demand for bullion. The numbers at the close in London, the FTSE 100 down 0.75% at 7,570. The DAX in Frankfurt down 0.25% at the close at 15,805. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.4% at 32,669. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up just over 1.5% at 12,679. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 is up just over 0.6% at 4,141. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling trading at $1 23.2 cents, €1 14.9 cents, and 24 South African rand 32.7 cents. In commodities, gold's down 0.6% at $1,945 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down over 3.5% at $75.37.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
A former Castletown resident who murdered his wife's lover in an explosion of violence almost a decade ago has been handed a life sentence. Ian Anthony Anderson was told he showed brutality towards Neil Edward Roberts in 2013. Manx Radio's Tessa Hawley was at Douglas Courthouse for the sentencing.
The 60-year-old was found dead at Anderson's Queen Street home in the early hours of the 1st of December that year. He'd suffered extensive injuries, including having almost all of the bones in his face broken. Jailing the 55-year-old for life, Deemster Graham Cook told him he'll serve a minimum of 15 years before parole can be considered. Yesterday, a jury found Anderson guilty of murder after an 8-day retrial. He'd previously been convicted of the offence in 2015. However, that conviction was quashed in 2021 after it was ruled the psychiatric evidence in the case hadn't been properly put before the jury at the time. Victim impact statements from Mr. Roberts' family were read to the court today, including the account his daughter had provided following the conclusion of the first trial. "My biggest heartache was not being able to hold his hand, touch him, kiss him goodbye and tell him I loved him with all my heart," she wrote, adding, "You chose to destroy mine and my family's life. That was my dad you took away from me." Addressing Anderson in the dock, who remained silent throughout the proceedings, Deemster Cook questioned whether it had been the love for his wife which stopped him accepting her infidelity. "You knew from a very early stage there was an affair going on," he told the defendant, describing him as a jealous man. "What I cannot get by is what you did to Mr. Roberts," the Deemster added. "You beat the living daylights out of him. That is not self-defence. That is brutality."
Manx Radio Sport.
Sports editor Rob Pritchard.
Vastamai, good evening. Starting with football, and Russian United's combination side have rounded off a perfect campaign by beating St John's 2-1 to lift the Ascot Hotel Junior Cup last night. The Spaniards took the lead on 23 minutes through Aaron Hawley's close-range finish in the only goal of the first half. Just 3 minutes into the second period, Charlie Jackson's strike from distance doubled Russians' lead before St John's got back into the contest at 2-1 3 minutes after that, thanks to a Liam Sale header. Despite a frantic push in the final 10 minutes and an increasingly end-to-end contest, St John's were unable to find the equaliser, with Russian able to see out the remainder to take the silverware. It comes after Russian also took the Canada Life Combination 1 title this season with a perfect record of 22 wins in 22 games. Elsewhere, the Southern side's under-21s also tasted success in recent weeks by beating Onchan to lift the Kirby Estates Cal Cup on the 17th of May. In athletics, the Isle of Man Track and Field Championships, due to take place later this week, have been postponed. It's understood the two-day event, which had been scheduled for this Saturday and Sunday at the NSC, has been called off due to a potential lack of officials to cover all the events involved. The championships will be rescheduled on a date to be announced in due course. And in cycling, no luck today for Mark Cavendish and Astana Kazakhstan on today's stage 18 of the Giro d'Italia today. Cavendish wasn't expected to be challenging at the head of the race, given the more mountainous route compared to yesterday. Their highest finisher was Vadim Pronsky in 19th, 3 minutes and 16 seconds behind eventual stage winner Philip Zana of Team Jayco Alula. Meanwhile, it was a solid ride today from fellow Manx competitor Lizzie Holden on the third stage of the Thüringen Ladies Tour in Germany this afternoon. Holden finished just 5 seconds off the winner Barbara Guarischi in 32nd place, with Holden also helping guide her UAE Team ADQ teammate Marta Bastianelli into the UCI points to finish 6th.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
The Lake Gatwick's in trouble tonight. In the meantime, next inbound is the EasyJet 735 from Liverpool, the 10-8 Logan Air from London City, and the 5-8 returning patient transfer from Liverpool. Then it's the 8:05 EasyJet inbound from Manchester. They're all on time. The 8:25 EasyJet from Gatwick won't be in until 10 o'clock tonight. Outbound, 6 o'clock, Logan Air to Liverpool, 8:05 EasyJet to Liverpool, 8:25 EasyJet to Manchester, and the 9 o'clock to Gatwick will be departing at 10:30 tonight. On the roads, temporary lights on Glen Road, Laxey, near the football club. There's some temporary lights on the Sulby Strait for resurfacing. The Ballymenock Road in Jerby face closures for water main replacement. Gravel roads closed in Oncombe between Church Road and Fairway Close for gas work. And temporary lights on King Edward Road gravel between there and the Liverpool Arms doing some drainage work. Temporary closures around East Quay in Peel continue. Delays also in Port Erin on the four-way traffic signals on the Ballyfesson Road for that new pedestrian crossing.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside.
The statutory consultation process on plans for 3 large wind farms in the RSC will end on the 4th of June. Wind farms Morgan and Mona are being developed under a joint venture between BP and the German company EnBW, a slightly smaller farms planned by companies Cobra and Flotation Energy. All the details from Simon Richardson.
The plans have caused concern among commercial shipping companies and some environmentalists. Soon after the proposals were first mooted, Steam Packet Managing Director Brian Thompson warned that if the Mona and Morgan wind farms were developed in the areas proposed, there would be consequences.
Oh yeah, it'll affect us massively. We'll have to reroute our vessels to go around them or go through them. And it has potential for our supply lines, either adding extra time to the journey.
Addressing the consultation input to date, Burkhardt Romhild, Project Director for EnBW, said they appreciated the constructive feedback from stakeholders. Taking this on board, he committed to further fine-tuning the project designs.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300.
Bad news if you're using Shaw. One of the island's telecoms providers putting up its prices by 8.5% from the 1st of July. Is Christian Jones.
Shaw has notified its customers that all pay monthly mobile, home phone and broadband services will increase due to inflation. Anyone who's signed or re-signed with Shaw since the 1st of May won't be affected by the
rise, though. In a statement to Manx Radio, the company says the changes are being made so that the company can continue to invest in its networks and deliver products and services to its customers. It continues to say, "We understand the cost of living pressures customers are facing at the moment and will always do all we can to avoid increasing prices. But like many other businesses, the cost of providing those services is increasing due to inflationary factors." The move has come shortly after the island's other telecommunications provider, Manx Telecom, announced a 12.5% rise. However, Shaw says anyone who's facing financial difficulty and struggling to pay their bills should contact the organisation.
Former TT winner, now Ryder liaison officer Richard Quayle, Milky Quayle, says there's always new challenges when it comes to running the TT races. Milky explains his role and what he does.
Now the TT is at such a high level that the newcomers can't just wobble around and think, well, you know, I can just build up gradually. They have to be on fire straight away. They have to know the course inside out straight away. And we work really hard through the winter. People don't see us out. There's myself and Johnny Barton. He's my colleague. He works with the rider coaching as well. And we're literally out every weekend. We're always out middle of winter, November. We generally start October, November. And generally there's always someone coming over for a weekend and that just wants to have a little bit of a look around.
How big a challenge is it in this day and age to get a bike on the grid at the TT?
Well, yeah, is it? I mean, it's motorsport and nothing in motorsport is cheap. As soon as you put racing on the box of anything, it doubles in price and it has no guarantee. And it is a very big financial commitment to all the teams, all the riders that are out on the grid, you know. And I have always said, though, it's the only circus in town where the clowns pay to entertain the crowd. But that's the way it is. You know, we all choose to do it. You know, we don't have to do it. But the pleasure that we get from doing it far outweighs the financial costs, you know, because you work all year just to have your fun for 2 weeks. And, you know, that's, some people want to go down the pub every night, but, you know, you've got to prioritise on where you want to put your money into, don't you? So, and we were very fortunate again that the lads are willing to just, you know, sacrifice everything to have some fun around the circuit. Last year was a particularly hard year for the fact that we'd had COVID and the 2 years away, so we effectively were 3 years behind. So it was all a bit new to everybody again. It was like starting again with everybody. In our job, you're literally firefighting for 3 weeks. You're literally solving problems. You just literally go from one problem to another problem to another problem to another problem. Obviously, the problems change during the week as well, even just as regards to the setup in the paddock. Every year, there's always something that gets thrown up, but that's part of life.
That's it for Update Tonight, brought to you from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Christian Jones, producer Rhiann Evans. Stick around, we're in the archive room after 6 o'clock. Chris Kinley's here with some hits at 6:30. A little light music with Maurice Powell at 9, and Rhiann back with The Late Show after hours at 10. WINT